Turn with me this morning for the reading and preaching of the Word of God to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 100. This is a psalm of thanksgiving or for thanksgiving. And let us hear what God would say to us this morning concerning this subject of giving thanks to Him. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and His faithfulness to all generations. Well, the title this morning is simply this, Give Thanks to God or Give Thanks to Him. That's what the day should be about this last Thursday in the month of November. I'm, for one, very glad and thankful that the United States of America still acknowledges the last Thursday in every November as a day of thanksgiving. Now, the first Thanksgiving that took place on these shores or in this great land, as far as we know from history, was a Thanksgiving day that was set aside by the pilgrims themselves. You can get more information about this by reading a lot of history. You could probably Google that and get a great deal of information, but I want to just read a couple of things to you concerning that first Thanksgiving day. They had a really rough first winter. They arrived, either it was November or December, it's very cold, and a lot of them died in that very cold, extreme winter weather. But they did a lot of planting when the spring came, and the Lord blessed and prospered their efforts. And so they had a Thanksgiving 1 year after their arrival. They enjoyed a number of good things, waterfowl, and venison and a number of other things, as well as a bountiful harvest of their crops with many of the Massasoit Indians. 1 year after nearly starving, they now had more food than they could consume and responded as people with for whom worship was primary. And their response was a day of thanksgiving. In fact, I believe history would support this. It went on for more than one day. They patiently suffered great loss and in the end succeeded in founding a renewed civilization. It was the longing to worship God according to the scriptures at whatever cost that motivated them to leave their other country and come to what historians would label as the New World. And so it was that was their motivation. Took a lot of courage for them to do what they did. And a lot of them suffered and even died in the process of that effort to establish a land where they could worship Almighty God according to the way His Word says that we should. Well, there was another occasion in 1779. At that time, George Washington was the President of the United States, and he sent out an order to the American Army, and here's part of what that says. Be it resolved to them to appoint Thursday, the 9th of December next, to be a day of public and solemn thanksgiving to Almighty God for his mercies. And then the way we arrived at the last Thursday of November being established as our national holiday, it was done by President Abraham Lincoln. I know he was a controversial president, no doubt about that. And nonetheless, in 1863, the Civil War was 61 through 65. Well, this was kind of in the middle of that. He sent out a proclamation, and here's how it reads. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to owe their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to be needful to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. We have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these things were produced in some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who sojourn in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. We would have done well in the United States of America for every president since him to have done the same thing prior to that last Thursday in November. I know we have a lot of what I would call, and other people call, great national sins. But at the same time, I know that Almighty God has been gracious and continues to be and merciful, and he has blessed us in this nation. And I also know, going back to the scriptures, that the people of God have been giving thanks to God way before the United States of America was ever established. This is a biblical principle for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is an attitude of gratitude that we should have, really, all the time. And so it should not surprise us to find a lot on the subject of giving thanks to God in the Bible. And so we find that here in Psalm 100. We are told to shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, serve him with gladness, come before him with joyful singing. Why should we do that? Verse 3, the first line in 3 tells us why. Know that the Lord himself is God. We should give thanks to him because of who he is. And he's the one only living and true God. We remind ourselves and reaffirm that every Lord's Day when we stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there are no other gods. He's the only one. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is sovereign over everything. We were reminded of that in Sunday school this morning. He's working everything after the counsel of his own will. Even with all the evil that's in the land, it's not thwarting his purpose for this country or any other country on the face of the earth. Never has and never will. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is everywhere present. Now look at the next line in verse 3. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Boy, all the citizens in this land would do well to be reminded of that, would they not? Turn with me to Psalm number 139. We may revisit this after the first of the year. But I want us to see it this morning for just a moment. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 13. This is a psalm of David. God inspired him to write this. And in verse 13 and following, here's what it says. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. Let me just stop there for a second and say, I know people who don't believe that. You probably do as well. I get together, Joyce and I do, with a number of my high school classmates and their spouses once a month for breakfast. Occasionally, we'll meet for the evening meal rather than breakfast. But in some of these events, depending, you know, we sit with different people and talk about different things, but on this one occasion, sitting across the table from me was one who had been acknowledged in our senior class as being one of the intellectuals. She was not the valedictorian, but she was the next one down. What's that one? Salutatorian or whatever it is. Well, we got into a conversation about life itself. And she revealed that she is one of these who is all for quote-unquote women's rights, and she's pro-abortion, etc., etc. And so I said to her, well, let me tell you what I believe about that. And it's based on what the Bible says. The Bible says that God weaved us in our mother's womb. Aren't you glad? I am, that our mothers did not have an abortion when they were pregnant with us. And I said, their only life begins at conception, by the way, not at birth, at conception. And there are only two things that the person needs from the time they are conceived until we get to the point where we are right now, this minute, today. Only two things. Time is one of those. Nutrition is the other. That's it. From conception until right now, this minute, those are the only two things that have been absolutely necessary to get us from conception to where we are today. Thou didst weave me, the person, Bob Wilson, in my mother's womb. He created not only the whole universe, he created us. We are here by the absolute divine plan and purpose and will of Almighty God. We are not accidents. None of us are. So now look at verse 14, what he says. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I had an eye appointment this past week. And you probably have had some of those too. And they put these drops in there and dilate your eyes. And it's supposed to open them wide open so the doctor can put that bright light in your eye and see all kinds of things. And even if you know anything at all about just the eye, one part of the body, the eye, you cannot help but conclude that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We can see up close. Sometimes we need help with that. And we can see afar off. We can see in color. At least most of us can. Some have a problem with that. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at what else. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Now look at verse 16. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. That's that last part there. The days that were ordained for me. How was it written in the book of Job? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I never dreamed that he would have ordained for me 75 plus years, but he has. I don't know how many more I have left. I might not live through the rest of this day. And if I die before the sun goes down, hallelujah, praise the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with him, and you can just smile. When you get the news that that old fat, white-headed preacher died, okay? rejoice that I am present with the Lord and way far better off than I'll ever be on this earth. So he created us. Back to Psalm 100. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. By the life and the death, the shed blood and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one who saved us and made us his people. He is the one who chose us from before the foundation of the world to come to know Christ and believe in him and have eternal life. He is the one who effectually called us unto himself and pronounced us on that occasion justified in his sight. He is the one who began that process in us, and he has promised one day he will bring it to completion. We are his people. God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he's done all of that for us because he loves us. He cares for us. He takes care of us. And so for all of these reasons, we are told in verse 4 that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We should give thanks to him and bless his name. But I have learned, and there's even been times in my own life, not only have I learned, but also with myself, that I'm, sad to say, not always thankful. And there are other people who seem to find it hard to be thankful. Turn with me quickly to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. You might remember this occasion in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pick it up at verse 11. And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 leprous men who stood at a distance. Now, if you remember anything about leprosy, it was a horrible, horrible disease. Caused people to look terrible. People didn't want to be around other leprous people out of fear that that would get on them. And so they kept their distance. But they raised their voices, saying, verse 13 and following, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when they saw him, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now just think about that for a moment, but let's use another thing. Let's say instead of leprosy in our day and time, let's say that there were 10 people who had stage 4 cancer. That's pretty bad. Not too many people overcome that. Most people die as a result of having stage 4 cancer. But let's just say in our day and time, 10 who had stage 4 cancer. But the Lord told them to go see the priest, and on their way there, they were all healed. Cancer-free. When people at the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, and they have a cancer area, and they treat cancer patients, but if the patient ever gets to the place of being diagnosed cancer-free, they get to ring a bell. And that's a day of rejoicing, and everybody up and down that floor hears that bell going off, and everybody smiles and is glad because here's another cancer-free, one who's been healed. Well, on their way, they were cleansed. They were healed. Look at verse 15. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Were none found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." See, only 1 out of 10 returned to the Lord to say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you did. That makes me glad." Well, back to Psalm 100. That phrase, "enter his gates with thanksgiving." If you ever get to go to Bon Clarkin, when you enter at the entrance, the main front entrance, there's an entrance at the front and one at the back, but regardless of the entrance, they have a plaque or sign that says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving." It's a good reminder that we ought to be a thankful people and that we should give thanks to him and bless his name, for he is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. I I heard this joke one time. You might think it funny or silly. I don't know. I'll share it with you anyway. But about a person who had a hard time being thankful. He went into this restaurant, ordered breakfast. Waitress asked him, "Well, what do you want?" He said, "I want 2 eggs, want one fried and one scrambled." She said, "Got it." Brought them back out there, set them down in front of him, and on the plate there was one fried and one scrambled. And he looked up at her and said, "You fried the wrong one." He just couldn't be thankful. Well, we should have thankful hearts. And we should give thanks to the Lord our God. Turn with me back for just a moment. I'll close with this to Psalm number 92. And I've preached this and said the things that I've said today, preparing us for 2 weeks from today. November the 24th, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And on that Sunday, I plan to preach from Psalm number 92 from the first 4 verses. And here's what these verses say. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Now on that Sunday, 2 weeks from the day, I'm going to list some reasons why it is good to give thanks to the Lord. And to sing praises to thy name, O Most High, to declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night, with the 10-stringed lute and with the harp and the resounding music from the lyre. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad by what thou hast done. I will sing for joy at the works of thy hands. Now, I might shock you 2 weeks from today on just how short that sermon's going to be. Sometimes I get a little carried away and it's after 12, and I've noticed that when it's much after 12 and the benediction's pronounced, y'all act like somebody hollered fire out the door. And I know that other things to do. Understand that. But I'm going to be briefer than normal that Sunday with the sermon. But when I finish the sermon, here's what I'm going to do. Then I'm going to ask you, now, what has the Lord done to make you glad? And give you the opportunity in the presence of the assembly, the opportunity to give thanks to Him for what He has done. So be ready. If you need to make a list, and I've had people in other churches say, "Preacher, I get emotional. I'll start crying." And I say, "Well, bring a box of Kleenex. If that's not enough, bring your beach towel." Yeah. Whatever works. We weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. But a time to give thanks unto Him. That's what that last Thursday of the month is all about, or should be. I think probably more than anything else, it has become a day of gluttony for most Americans. Now, I enjoy Thanksgiving Day, and you can tell looking at me, I enjoy good food, and plan to do that. The last Thursday, our son and his wife host us and Jessica's family, all of both families, the Jordans and the Wilsons, all get together at their house for Thanksgiving Day. And it's a good day. And we remember how the Lord has blessed us. And we give thanks to Him. And we enjoy the bounty of what is spread before us. But I'm concerned that a lot of Americans just focus on the food and forget the giving thanks. But anyway, Sunday prior to, we want to remember the things that the Lord has done to make us glad and give thanks to Him. And I'll share with you some of the reasons. We won't have time to share all, but some of the reasons why that is a good thing to do. All right, Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us today about the subject of giving thanks to you. We thank you for those pilgrims who traveled across the ocean to come here out of a desire to be able to freely worship you according to your word, and that not be dictated to them by some government or authority. We thank you for establishing the United States of America. We know, Lord, our history, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and it's all been there and still is now. But we know your purpose for us as a nation is not thwarted. And Father, I thank you that it's a land that's so prosperous that many in other countries long to be here, whether it's getting here legally or illegally, because they know it's far better than what they're leaving. Some have a lot of ulterior motives. We pray that you'd clean that up. Thank you for some governing officials who stress how important it is to become citizens and to be legal immigrants becoming citizens. But Father, we thank you for the way you bless us, even in light and in spite of our many big national sins. We thank you, Lord, for the way you have blessed us as individuals and our families. And we pray that you would give us thankful hearts. Remind us often of the things that you have done that make us glad and cause us to quickly give thanks to you. These things I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.